Father, as always, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We ask that that light will shine in our hearts this morning and afternoon and give us understanding, revelation knowledge as well, encouraging our hearts and open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our hearts to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We'll pick up this lesson from where we stopped yesterday. We're just talking about, we've talked about, failure and losses. How do we see failure and how do we see losses? You know, we can see, those setbacks in a negative way. We can also see them as an opportunity to be a learning we can glean from it, and others may look at failure as something that will lead them to quit. Some may look at failure as a challenge to do better, and to learn from that error, so to speak. And we want to encourage us to do the positive. Reaction, things will happen to us. Things may come our way. It's not everything that we can prevent. Most things we can prevent by praying through and praying ahead. And if it pleases the Lord to show us, we pray about it. Maybe we'll prevent it. But, one thing we can do is, we can be in control of how we respond and how we react. You may not be able to control what happens to you, or what comes your way, but you can most certainly, decide and control how you are going to respond. We want to always respond positively to negative things that may happen. Today we're talking particularly about failures and losses. We've done something that didn't work. We've had setbacks. We've lost this and that and what have you. How do we respond? Praise the Lord. I'm going to read a few scriptures here. Now remember that sometimes it is necessary for this kind of pain and struggle and loss and so-called failure in order for real greatness to come. As it is written, this scripture was shared yesterday in the room, John 12:24, where Jesus said, except a corn of wheat, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But when he dies, then it's going to bring forth multiplication, through the death, and so forth. So it looks like, at the moment when when it looks like everything was lost, because the thing is dead, well, it brings forth new life. And it's, in that death, that's where resurrection and multiplication comes. And Jesus himself, until he had died, he was alone. He was the only begotten Son of God. But through his death, he brought many sons unto glory. Now, we've talked about in this room in the past, how beauty is birthed out of pain and struggle and, sometimes even ugliness. The classic story of the butterfly coming out of that cocoon, the caterpillar and all of that, the metamorphosis, the process they go through, the painful extraction, of that butterfly out of that ugly thing. And it going in and out, it's hanging upside down, it's doing all kinds of things, and it's like it can't make it, and it's so ugly, repulsive. It's repulsive. But, enough time passes through all that struggle and so forth, and eventually out comes this floating beauty. It's a thing of absolute beauty. Colors, magnificence, and you can just float like that. But you would have, who would have thought that such a thing of beauty can come out of, you know, such ugliness and such pain? There was a story told of a man who one time saw that, you know, cocoon, you know, trying to, you know, come out of there, and he didn't know, you know, and he thought, this thing is not going to make it. It's going to die. It's going in and out and so forth. He put forth his hand to help it, and he killed the process. You know, so that process of pain and struggling and, you know, in and out like that was necessary for that thing of beauty to come out. Travail, the birth pains, and so forth. Sometimes, you know, women go through a lot of that when they are, you know, pregnant and trying to bring forth that baby. Pain! Jesus himself said, well, a woman, when it's her time to give birth, has sorrow because of pain. You know, but, you know, when that man child is born, then there's great joy. And she forgets all of that pain and that sorrow. Well, likewise, in things of life, you know, sometimes we have to go through, pass through a lot of stuff. But the end of it all is, if we endure, then come out of that thing something of beauty, you know, something magnificent. You know, so all of these struggles, you know, that we have been facing, well, it is time for us to experience victory. You know, the travails are about to result in triumph. The birth pains are about to bring forth something of beauty. Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, and let us not be weary, you know, in well-doing. I say also, don't be weary in hanging in there, you know, because if we faint not, we shall reap in due season. Praise the Lord. Well, here are some promises when you are facing different things, you know, that may look like overwhelming battles, that look like you are losing, or even, you know, the enemy threatens you with losses and mockery and so forth. You know, the way that God was dealing with the children of Israel in the past, he was always trying to encourage them even before they would go into situations. He would tell them in advance. I said, well, it is Lord, I God, I God go with you. Don't be afraid, this and that, and so on. And even when they're there, he would try to encourage them as well. And we can learn from many of those things. You know, here are some promises. You know, I'll read it the way it is written in this Bible for them at that time, and then let's translate it into our time. Deuteronomy 20. Let me read the first four verses out of Deuteronomy chapter 20. When thou goest to battle against thine enemies, right, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, you know, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say to them, hear, O Israel. Ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God, he it is that God go with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Well, let's read that, you know, again a different way. Let's read it this way. When you are facing these losses and these things that seem to be overwhelming, you see the challenges, you see all of the things that are too strong for you, will cause your heart to say, I am tired, I can't go on, I give up. Say, no, don't give up. You know, say, remember the things the Lord had done for you in the past. You know, but it shall be when you face these things, you know, well, let there be encouragement, you know, here and there, come out from, you know, the ministers, you know, such as this room. It's like the scent of water to the dying tree, and to say to them that, look, the way you are going to approach the situation that is at hand is for you to not fear and not tremble and not be discouraged because of all the things, you know, but be strong and remember that the Lord will bring you to victory. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we have to look at our own testimonies, but also the testimonies of others to see that, look, at the end of the day, there's actually victory. Praise the Lord. You know, the psalmist, I like the way, you know, he put some things, you know, like in Psalm 18, he always declared himself as a winner. And the way that he puts it is something that we can do for ourselves today. Hallelujah. He will say, for by thee I have run through a troop. Psalm 18 and verse 29. And by my God I have leaped over a wall. Well, can you run through troops? Can you leap over walls? Or will you fall down at the sight of troops? You know, troops may be all kinds of things come up against you from different directions all at once. We've heard testimony in this room when someone's going through one, they're going facing one thing, and before that's over, then something else. And then before it's over, then something else. And it's like, oh my goodness, what is happening? We've seen that in the Bible and we've seen it in real life. You know, but David said, by my God, I have run through a troop, and by my God, I leap over a wall. And the way I put it and I see it is, look, you know, troops, walls, barriers, barricades, none of these things should, you know, cause our hearts to faint. Run through troops if you have to. Leap over walls if you have to, you know, barricades, obstacles, and so forth, you know, bulldoze them, knock them down, you know, one way or another, get around it, but don't quit and don't give up, you know. And I've given this example before. If you're going somewhere and you see a road block, are you just going to stay there and not proceed because of a road block construction and so forth? Sometimes they'll give you a sign of detour. You know, and even if there's no sign of detour, are you just going to stay there, or are you going to go back home and not proceed to where you're going? You're going to find another way. You know, you're not going to let the road block keep you from where you're going. You're going to go to where you need to go. You find another way, you get around it somehow. You know, so it's the same thing, you know, for all the aspects of our life. Roadblocks, setbacks, what have you, and so forth. We're not going to let that keep us from moving forward, you know. As for God, his way is perfect, he said. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in him. Well, for who is the Lord, or God, save the Lord, and who is a rock, save our God? It is my God that guardeth me with strength and will make my way perfect. Also make my feet like hinds feet and set me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war so that, you know, a bow of steel is broken by my arms, you know. To check my hands in another place, he said, to fight, my fingers to war, and all these things. You know, encourage himself for the battle. Strengthen himself. He's not going to let, you know, some setback or what have you, you know, cause him to turn back. Not turn back, you know, against your enemies. Just because you see that there are many. That's what we read in Deuteronomy 20. Don't turn back against the challenges just because you see that they come from the left and the right. You know, be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 108 and verse 13 says, you know, through our God, we shall do valiantly. You know, we are not going to fail. You know, we are going to do valiantly. So rather than entertaining failures and losses, we're going to have a mindset shift that we are more than conquerors. We're going to read that in a minute. But let's dwell on this, Psalm 108 verse 13 for just a minute. Let's dwell on it. You know, see how you can encourage yourself the way that the psalmist says it here. You know, he said, look, through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Well, what are your enemies? They are these failures, these losses. That's what we're dealing with in this particular lesson. The failures, losses that come up against you that you experience, the intent to which is to make you give up and give in and fold in. You know, but you can declare, and challenge your spirit, to victory, and say, look, I can do valiantly through my God. Hallelujah. So, that's a good admonition and exhortation for us, to challenge ourselves. There's a promise of celebrations and increase and joy and so forth. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19. Here's what the Lord says. Remember, even in this chapter, we've been reading about the Lord saying that he will restore health unto you and he will heal all your wounds. Just a couple of verses before that, but here, let's read something else here that he would say. We have been using Jeremiah 30:17 over the last few days to pray for our brother who is in distress, ICU and so forth. And then, encourage ourselves with the same thing, but here is what the Lord goes on to say here. All of these things that happen to us and so forth. Well, eventually he said, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. This is verse 19 of Jeremiah 30. And the voice of them that shall make merry, and I will multiply them, and you shall not be few, and you shall not diminish. Hallelujah. whereas the devil wants to take you out and crush us and weary out the saints, Lord said, no, I will multiply them. They shall not be few. They shall not diminish. And I also will glorify them, and they shall not be small. Hallelujah. You will not be a small people. Be a mighty people. Joel's army, they are mighty people that run. They can run through windows, climb over walls. Mighty people, the likes of which had not been seen. Said, look, they shall not be few. And you shall not be small. Your children also have some blessings, point blank. Shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. Their nobles also and so forth. The governors proceed out of them. Their hearts will be encouraged to approach to the Lord and so on. And the Lord, when they call on the Lord will say, I am your God. And he will give you the victory. Voices of celebration and joy shall come unto you and shall not, be far from you in Jesus' name. We read Isaiah 55 verses 12 and 13 the other day, maybe yesterday. It said, the Lord will cause you to go out with joy, led forth with peace. Mountains and hills break off before you into singing. All the trees of the field clap their hands. God will turn the bitterness and things that pinch you into sweetness and so forth. The thorns, the briars, all of these, God will turn them around. There's coming the voice of joy. There's coming the voice of celebrations. Because you go through a cycle of everything. Bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord. Shall a woman be pregnant forever? There's coming a time when, that's got to break forth. You go through that, there's a cycle and a season for it. If it goes beyond the normal season, it is demonic. And God will have to break that. You know, and that reminds me of one time I was in a certain place, and there was a woman, a lot of witchcraft in that place. I was bound over in her pregnancy. At that time, she had been pregnant for close to a year. They had told her, the witch doctors and everything, that she would not have a miscarriage. You know, she would not give birth, but she would have that big belly all the days of her life. And from when she was due from 9 months, they cast that spell upon her. She carried that thing. And everybody in the village knew it too. And almost a year into that pregnancy, she still had that big belly going everywhere. You know, and she was never going to give birth, they said. I mean, all kinds of spells and witchcraft and so forth. Well, that's demonic. That's not from the Lord. You know, you go through the cycles of everything. Well, the end of that story was, you know, we were in that certain place, myself and Pastor Roland, you know, several years ago for a crusade. And when we heard of that, well, you know, so, well, before we leave this place, this lady will give birth, I said. And we were there for only about 8 or 9 days. And on the very last day, even forgotten about it, we were sitting there and waiting to be introduced to bring a teaching. We had a teaching conference in the morning and the crusades in the evenings. And in the morning conference, that was the very last day of that. I think it was like a 8 days event or something. Someone passed the note. And the note said, that woman that had been carrying her pregnancy all over, which they all knew her in that village, said she gave birth this morning. Glory to God. Because, you look, shall a woman be pregnant forever? I mean, shall you have birth pains forever and not even bring, you know, forth the baby? I mean, shall we go through these struggles forever and for no reason? No, there's always something. Shall the cocoon go through that struggling, you know, that upside down position, in and out struggling and the painful extraction forever? No. At some point, that beauty, that thing of beauty is coming out. That's what we, you know, we analyzed that Psalm 30 verse 5 yesterday, that look, the darkness, the sorrow of night and so forth, the pain and all of that cannot go on forever. At some point, a day must break. Now, my prayer today and our exhortation to you is hold on. Don't you give up. Don't you give in. You know, and it's going to be sooner rather than later. And the Lord will do great things. We shall rejoice and praise his name. Hallelujah. Well, let's read John chapter 16 and verse 33. Jesus said, look, in the world, you shall have these tribulations and things that may even look like failures and losses and so on. But be of good cheer, he said, I overcome for you. So we're going to have these things, you know, setbacks, quote unquote failures. But if you learn from this lesson, you may choose to no longer call them failures, but opportunities for victory, for triumph. You know, as it is written, you know, thanks be unto God, 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Well, that indicates to me that there are situations that you need to triumph over. In order for you to say, I have a victory or triumph, you had to have been through something. And when God said, always causes you to triumph, that means, well, they're going to have many situations that will come against you. But the end of it all is you triumph over them all in every single case. We believe the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. You know, and not only that, I mean, the glory of God is with us, you know, when he does that. Brings the savor of his knowledge to us in every place. Hallelujah. Triumph in Christ through every situation. And those things we call losses, the Lord said in Joel chapter 2 and verse 23, I will restore, saith the Lord. That which you have lost, which the enemy has stolen, glory to God. The Lord said, I will restore it. Amen. The Lord will restore, you know, even the years the cankerworm has eaten, the locust, the palmerworm, the caterpillar, all these things. You know, the Lord said, I will restore, and ye shall now eat in plenty and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has done wonderful things for you. And my people shall never be ashamed. We can read, let's read Joel chapter 2, verses 23 to 27. Powerful promises there. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, but he will now cause to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter, together in the first month. But what does that really mean? Well, the former rain is the planting rain. The latter rain is the harvest rain. But, you know, in this case, I mean, usually there's quite a lot of time between the planting season and the harvest season. But in this case, he's saying the reaper will even overtake the planter. It's all happening at the same time. Before you know it, you know, something incredible is coming from the Lord. Successes, you know, celebrations are coming. And I will restore unto you the years the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmerworm. He said, look, you shall eat in plenty. Praise the name of the Lord your God that hath done wondrously or dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. I love that one. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of you. I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. He says it again. So we can latch onto that and say, Lord, this is what you said. Now, if you fall flat on your face because you're knocked down, then, and you don't get up, then that's shame. That's shameful, you know, because you know, failure is for you to not get up. Failure is to quit. You know, that's the way I defined it yesterday. But just being knocked down is not failure as long as you get up, you know, and move on and learn from it. But if you quit and or you stay down for the count, then that's failure because you quit. But we're not quitters and we are not going to give up. You know, we're going to keep, you know, believing and trusting the Lord. Here's how, you know, Paul put out, you know, some of his testimonies and all the things that he went through. And this scripture was again read and alluded to in the room yesterday. We are troubled on every side. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Well, I say knocked down, trodden, you know, down and so forth, but we do not stay down. We get up. And sometimes the devil cheapshot you with some losses and some failures and things that the enemy will bring suddenly, you know, and unfortunately things happen in life, you know, but your response, what is it going to be? That's the thing, you know, and we talked about also if we put on the armor of prayer, we can avoid a lot of pitfalls, but even if something comes, then we must respond and not give in and not give up. And sometimes, you know, we're not going to always play possum or, you know, just defense all the time. You know, sometimes you got to take the fight to the devil. That's right. Yeah, That's what Jesus said. He said, look, a strong man keeping his arm, I mean, his goods and so forth, armed in his palace, he thinks he's safe. But when you come upon him being stronger, you will spoil him, bind him and spoil his goods. So, you know, we got to go after the devil sometimes. It's not just us, you know, always defending, devil throwing stuff. Well, we do have the shield of faith for that, you know, to quench all these fiery darts. But I guarantee you, we have also the sword of the spirit. Hallelujah. And we can do some fighting too. Praise God. You know, we can do the sword of the spirit, the word of God. We can quote that word. We can stand in the victory of that word against the devil and not let, you know, temporary setbacks put us out. You know, and I call them temporary setbacks. You know, you can have an opportunity. It can be a moment, can turn into a moment of triumph. And I told you the track and field story yesterday, and I posted that. And I hope you read it. So the things that we face and all of that should not cause us to fold up and fold in. You here's what Paul said again in Philippians chapter 4. We read verses 11 to 13. You know, he said, look, I've been through a lot of things. You know, I've been up and I've been down. I've been full and I've been empty. I have been hungry and I've been satisfied. I've learned to have plenty and to suffer need. You know, and all these things, you know. And he said, look, I know how both to be abased and how to abound. Well, I know how to suffer losses and get victories as well. Basically, is what he's saying. You know, in all things and everywhere, I'm instructed both how to be full and how to be hungry, abound, suffer, need, you know, loss, failure, whatever. But I come out with successes. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You know, and this is a testimony of somebody that's not going to give the devil the satisfaction of thinking that he got one over me. And this was something that, you know, the Lord helped me to come into that decision many years ago. Say, well, I'm not going to let the devil think he got something. He will get nothing. He will come out empty. So don't ever, you know, give satisfaction to the devil. You know, sometimes, you know, we as believers, we often give a lot of credit to the devil. The devil does this. The devil does that. The devil made me do this. The devil made me do that. The devil is this. The devil is that. What about the Lord? You know, ladies and gentlemen, let me declare to you the status of the devil, which, you know, already told you in the series of when we did the adversary versus your advocate. The devil, you know, has been dethroned and disarmed and disgraced and defeated and destroyed. You know, all of those D's we gave during that time. And you must recognize and affirm that for yourself every day and also enforce that. You know, there is a, you might call it, you know, the, you know, how the law is there and there, and that we have law enforcement officers and so forth. You know, well, we must enforce those things, you know, and there are certain things that the Lord has put in place for us. And we must learn how to enforce our victory. You know, the victory that the Lord, there's a restraining order on the devil. And you must enforce it. You know, the Lord said, touch not my anointed. And do my prophets and my people no harm. And he said, this is, you know, these are my children and let them go, he said to Pharaoh. as a restraining order, you know, that the Lord had put on the devil because he made an open show of principalities and powers. He spoiled it, you know, and, but the devil will still spring up with the hope that, you know, we don't know what we should know, you know, and try a quick one, you know, but you got to put him in his place. You remind him, you have been disgraced, dethroned, disarmed, defeated, and destroyed. And give him the scriptures for it too. And you stand in the liberty wherein God has made you free. And don't, you know, we're not going to put up with, you know, these failures and these losses. You know, as a matter of fact, we're going to declare ourselves as winners. I'm a winner. Praise God. We're going to have that winning attitude. Hallelujah. The winning attitude is, look, I am more than a conqueror. I mean, let's see how, you know, Paul put it out. And this is a good scripture, which we all know, and we should, you know, read it and proclaim it from time to time. You know, in Romans chapter 8, Paul wrote some marvelous things here that he said. And it's a good thing for us to declare the same. He said, look, you know, he was persuaded that nothing can separate, you know, us from the love of God. He said, you know, who shall separate us from the love of God? He said, well, what are the things that we go through that can separate us? Nothing. Not tribulation, not distress, not persecution, not famine, not nakedness, not peril, not the sword. You know, that's Romans chapter 8 and 33. Not even, 35, not even failures, not even losses. These things cannot separate us. He said, no, nay, that's 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Not just a conqueror, not just an overcomer, not just a winner, but even more. And you will have many testimonies and many celebrations. Listen to how Paul said it. I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature, nor failure, nor losses, nor anything that the devil may bring shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Powerful delivery of his own assurance. And it's, you know, it's the status of his mind. It's not going to let any of these things, you know, shake him. None of these things, he said, you know, should move us. You know, we may face these things from time to time. But remember, also, joy is coming in the morning. You may have had your share, you know, maybe fair or unfair. You may have had some share of things, but I guarantee you, you know, just like you've had the night, so is the day coming. Praise God. You know, cause God is the one that put these things out there, you know, side by side. And the joy of the Lord is coming to you in victory. Don't sorrow. Say, look, these things that you've seen and heard, even when we hear that, you know, some evil report and so forth, you know, sometimes we hear, you know, something sorrowful concerning some of our brethren and so forth. Don't let that discourage you. You know, we should not be discouraged. In any of these things, we should not be moved. We must believe that the Lord is going to come through, you know, and Paul often said that, you know, none of these things, he said, would move him. You know, and we should not be moved, you know, in any of our tribulations and any things that the Lord, because we know that victory is just around the corner. Victory is always just around the corner. So, you know, we must believe that, affirm that, move in that. Hallelujah. Don't let any of these things move you. But God, on the other hand, you know, after you have suffered a while, you know, he's going to establish you. Praise the Lord. He's going to settle you. Hallelujah. You know, we have situations that bring losses. Here's a good scripture for us to consider in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. He said, look, there are many things that you have heard that's going on, but do not let any of these things move you. Hallelujah. No man should be moved by any of these afflictions, he said. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Why are we appointed unto afflictions? Well, he said, for verily, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, is where I'm reading, verses 3 to 5. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. Even as it came to pass. Now, he's not talking about great tribulation. He was talking about things that are passing through right there. And then, you know, and you said it came to pass, and you know it, you know. But I don't want you to be moved by these things, he said. So, all of the things that we can suffer, God has a way to bring it all together. Praise the Lord. And it seems as if there is a design, you know, for us to enter into glory after we go through some struggles. Listen to this in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. In other words, after you may have suffered some losses, some so-called failures, turn around and make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, give you victory and successes and celebrations. Why is it that after? Why must we suffer? Well, you know, it is what it is. You know, scripture has already said it. You know, this stuff is going to happen. We are going to, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. You know, but the end of the story is we are going to have the victory. I'm going to have the last laugh. Did you know that even in the book of Revelation chapter 12, we saw something that happened? And there is a story there told that John was seeing the future. And he saw how the devil was kicked out, you know. And he said, look, you know, we see that they were kicked out. There were, their place was found no more in the heavens. You know, today, you know, they are still there in heavenly places. You know, they are still, you know, usurping things and so on and so forth. Not quite certain heavenly places, but in some, you know, heavenly places, they're still there. You know, they are called the principalities and powers. But the Bible says there came a time that the accuser of their brethren was cast out. And then I heard a loud voice saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You know, and there was celebration. He said there was celebration over that devil. Because he was cast out. Say, therefore rejoice ye heavens and rejoice over the devil. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, the Paul gave, you know, admonition for us. He said, look, rejoice in the Lord. And he said, again, I say rejoice. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand for your deliverance. Your victory is just around the corner. Don't give up now. You know, the Lord is going to give you the victory. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of Jude, verse 24, there's only one chapter in Jude. I mean, this one is like, you know, a benediction of sorts. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Well, I also say, unto him that is able to keep you from these failures and losses. That's right. Unto him that is able to preserve you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To him, even the only wise God, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Remember, the scripture that I gave in the room a week or more or so ago, Second Timothy 4:18, and I said, the Lord, he gave me this scripture overnight, and the scripture declares, that the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and every failure and every loss. I put that my own there as well. You can declare these things, just like Paul and all these people declared these things. You can declare your own too. Got the same spirit of the Lord. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. He shall deliver me from failure. He shall deliver me from losses. And he shall preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. And, let me use this scripture and the others that we have read today and since yesterday also, to encourage us and to pray over the church today. Now, the Lord himself, he shall bruise the devil, hallelujah, under your feet shortly. We're going to pray a prayer. Victory celebrations coming your way. Hallelujah. And the Lord, will give you the victory. The Lord will give you reasons to celebrate and joy to come, your way. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. I'm going to use that to pray over the room, even on here. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Bruise the devil. Hallelujah. And then you will come out as a victor. You come out victorious in the name of the Lord Jesus. Celebrations of joy are coming your way. And there are things that the Lord has promised us. The devil said, no, I'm going to see to it that it doesn't happen. Anyway, he holds this council, calls all these demonic spirits together and say, look, these people are believing to emerge. They've been saying it, and they are believing for a quantum leap too. And they've been saying it. Well, what are we going to do about it? One spirit come out, another come out and say, well, we're going to go down there and weaken their hands. Well, I say, well, how are you going to weaken their hands? Well, when they are not looking, we'll attack them suddenly with accident, with this, with that, with sickness and disease. These things will weaken their hands because they will say, well, thought the Lord said we're going to emerge. Why then these things happen? Well, because, that's how we weaken their hands. You might remember the story in Nehemiah. And Sambalat and Tobiah and so forth. So, well, let's weaken their hands. They're trying to build, they're trying to emerge, they're trying to have a quantum leap, but weaken their hands with these things. And say, and Satan say, yeah, that's good. That's good. Let's do it. Go forth and do it and prosper too. And then the Lord said, no. The Lord said, I have seen it even before you thought it. I will be a wall of fire round about and glory around my people. I will be a hedge. And then the Lord sent his own to say, look, go down there and be a hedge, a wall of fire around the people of God and preserve and protect them. Remember, the Lord gave us those promises. In the book of Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 5, he gave us an incredible promise. He said, upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, and upon all her assemblies. Well, every which way you look at it, either in your house, your individual houses, or when you gather together in a place of fellowship, and so forth, in your individual lives or collectively, he said, the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, Isaiah 4 and 5, and upon all her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. Hallelujah. For upon all of you, the glory of God shall be for a defense. Thank you, Jesus. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and the rain and the raging of the devil that he will bring against you. The Lord said, I will be a wall of fire round about you. Psalm 125. You know, just a few promises to close here before we pray. You know, he said, look, this is the confidence that we have. You know, that the Lord not only surrounds us, you know, but he makes us unmovable. That's right. Unmovable. Let's read this. They that trust in the Lord, Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abide there forever. You know, devil will push against it. The storms will slam against it, you know, and so forth. But it cannot be moved by forever because they trust in the Lord. And as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth and even forevermore. So we never be afraid of the devil, you know, never be afraid. Don't even think about it, because according to Job chapter 3 and verse 25, fear had some inroad, you know. Job was always afraid that, you know, something might happen, something might go wrong. He said, the thing which I've greatly feared has come up against me. Well, there's nothing for you to greatly fear. Fear has torment. Now let's go out confidently, boldly, and let's be strong in the Lord. Joy and victory celebrations are coming our way. Let me restate some promises that the Lord has given us, you know, for you here again. Just so you remember that the word of the Lord that have gone forth cannot return void. The Lord promised that we will emerge. And as soon as we started emerging, all hell broke loose. Just like Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. And as soon as they got in the boat, then all hell broke loose. But break loose from hell or not, those tempests cannot stop us from getting there. But we are going to the other side, because that's what Jesus said. Hallelujah. So, no matter what the devil brings, we are emerging now. You know, part of the emerging is all that, you know, struggle, that painful extraction of the butterfly out of that cocoon. It's a painful process. Very, very painful. The birthing of a child is a painful process. Bible says even, you know, right now, the birthing of the sons of God is a very, very painful process. The whole creation groaning, traveling in pain until now. Revelation chapter 12, the woman also pained. Bible says that, you know, when her time came that she was about to be delivered, she was pregnant. And there was a dragon that was standing in front of her, ready to devour her child. She was pained. She pained to be delivered. Pain. She was in pain. You know, there is a pain period that comes before that child must come forth. You know, but the pain and the dragon together, they cannot prevent the child from coming forth. Hallelujah. Bible says that the woman was travailing. You know, she even cried. See, there was a great wonder, Revelation chapter 12, we're told, that appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And on her crown, she already got crowned, but crown or not, the devil is going to try to still devour. You know, and she being with child, she cried. traveling in birth. I'm pained to be delivered. And I don't think that this is going to come easy. It's not. You know? And there appeared another wonder. You know, in fact, John, he wondered when he saw these things. A great jack! And, you know, he had his own crowns too. You know, and he stood right there for ready to devour the child as soon as he was born. So, well, if I can't prevent the child from being born, I'm going to devour it as soon as he's born. Well, he could neither prevent the birth nor devour the child. We see the end of it here. So remind the devil of this revelation right here. You know, this is what is happening and is going to happen. There may be pain and some pain points right now, you know, because something is fixing to birth forth. And the devil, he can't prevent it, and he's not going to be able to devour it. Be caught up to the Lord and to his throne in glory. You know, but there is a pain process. It may be painful, but victory is assured. Praise the Lord. Now, let us pray. Father, I thank you for joy and for celebration that is coming to your people. Yes, we're going through pains. We're going through struggles. We're going through travail right now. But joy is coming in the morning. We may be in the moments of the night hours, the dark hours now. And it's usually darkest just before the break of day. And that day must break. Praise the Lord. Victory, successes, and celebrations are coming your way. Praise the Lord. You will go forth with joy. The scripture says, be led forth with peace. You know, the mountains and the hills shall now break forth before you into singing. Praise the Lord. That's right. Even all the trees of the field shall clap their hands for you. They will celebrate your success. Celebrate the goodness of the Lord. And you will be singing, see what the Lord has done. What we've waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. Father, we thank you for the victory that's assured in Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, think of the Christ. The enemy put him on that cross and put him in that grave and sealed the tomb. I mean, the tomb with the stones and put soldiers and everything. Thought, well, I put him right there. I got him right where I want it. But he blasted out of that grave. Hallelujah. But the grave could not hold him. And through that death, he destroyed death. Glory to God. And in the moment of weakness is when there is great power. In the moment, in your moments of weakness, and through the things that you are going through, rather than considering as a loss and failure and total defeat, don't do it. See it as a moment of victory. For by grace, the Lord said, is sufficient unto you. And my strength is made perfect for you in weakness. This is what the Lord told Paul, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Most therefore gladly will I rather rejoice in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, he said. Therefore I will take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses, and so forth, and even all the challenges of the devil, you know, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When I suffer loss, then I gain. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory for encouragement to your children. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.